In a time when we're facing a nationwide teacher shortage, I thought it would be great for us to get back to sharing stories of why teachers are so important and how they make a difference in our lives. We need more teachers. So each season, we have someone on the show to share about their favorite teacher and how they made a difference for them. This is Everything But the Lesson Plan podcast, and I am your host, Francesca Thompson. Today, that someone who is going to share their story is Miss Bethany Bogan, pharmacology PhD candidate, 2023 SMDP biotech scholar, and cardiovascular disease researcher. Ma'am, that is a lot. You are out here living your best life and getting the education, okay?
I'm trying.
I am glad to know you, ma'am. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Welcome to the show.
Yes. So I'm glad to be here.
Yes. So tell me about all these titles and what you got going on.
So I started my pharmacology PhD in 2019. And so I'm finishing up this semester. I'll be defending at end of April.
Oh my goodness.
I know it's happening.
My goodness.
I can't wait, but I'm also nervous because it's winding down, but I'm happy it's winding down, but we'll see. And the cardiovascular researcher portion of what I do is linked to my dissertation project. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to try to keep this as simple as possible. I'm studying a protein called fatty acid synthase, and it's a part of the mechanism that creates fatty acids. Mm-hmm. So when you eat glucose or sugar or carbohydrates, it's broken down through this pathway that is then led to the creation of fatty acid, triglycerides, and lipids in your body. So basically all excess sugars go through this pathway. And the protein I study is the last protein that causes this enzymatic reaction to occur. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking at how when you remove this protein from smooth muscle cells, it lowers the amount of cholesterol that can be kept inside the cell. So it would potentially be used as a drug target to slow down cholesterol, high cholesterol, and atherosclerosis.
Wow.
So that's the pharmacology aspect of my project.
Wow. So how did you come up with this? Just through all your research?
So when I joined my lab, my advisor had this idea. She basically had a hypothesis of this project that was really early on. She wanted to write a grant on it. So with the preliminary data we had, we wrote the grant, and then I just continued the project from there. So it was in very early development, and it changed a lot during my dissertation, but it all started with this one hypothesis that I kind of molded and changed. I'm really good at when I get in the lab, I just try things, and I'm like, it turned out good. So what do you think? And my advisor is really helpful with that too. So she's really good at taking my crazy ideas and running with it. So it kind of just molded from an idea she had.
Yeah. And so once you're done with school, what is your ultimate career goal?
So I would like to move into industry or biotech, working as a clinical scientist or in regulatory affairs. Both of these jobs are part of the process that leads to drug development. So I mm-hmm. want to be a part of the more clinical aspect of drug development and being a part of getting a drug from the lab to market. Mm-hmm. So that's my ultimate career goal. So I'm trying to get more experience in the more clinical realm of drug development and drug design to prepare for that.
Okay. And so I'm going to ask you some more questions later about kind of like your journey and connecting some of these pieces to elementary school, middle school, and high school.
Okay.
See how it helped you land to where you are now, right?
Okay, perfect.
So we'll just jump right into it. So first of all, tell us what kind of student, what were you like K through 12th grade? Like, who was Bethany?
Bethany was really quiet, mm-hmm. But she was really diligent with schoolwork. I still kind of carry that now. I've always won to kind of, I always say I stress myself out about school more than anyone else does because I'm always very like, it has to work like this. I have to get this done. So I was really diligent, quiet, unless you just got me talking about something I was interested in, and pretty hardworking, but also I wanted to be involved in all the extracurricular activities. So I was always really busy too as a kid.
Yeah, you were. And
yeah.
You were quiet up until it was time for you to sell Girl Scout cookies.
Listen. I think about a career in sales all the time because the Girl Scout cookies, they carried me. They taught me so much.
I've never seen someone with such determination to sell all 1 million boxes.
Oh, yeah. I was upselling people. Don't hand me a $5 bill when cookies are $3.50, because I'm going to save for $2 more, you can get another box.
So. Okay. I said, this girl is not playing about these cookies. You approach people like bill collectors, okay? And I would be nervous. I would be like, did I pay for them cookies yet? Or did I order the cookies?
And honestly, I don't know why they cultivated that environment in Girl Scouts for us, where we were like, they're like, you have to sell these cookies. And yes, we did fun things as a result, but why were we so crazy about it? I don't know. It's a cult. I'm looking back, it's a cult.
Now, that skill is going to take you far, okay?
That's a I should put that on my resume, transferable skill.
Yes. Okay. All right. So that was the type of student you were. What were some of your favorite hobbies?
Some of my favorite hobbies were reading, dance. I danced from age 3 to age 15-ish. And then after I stopped dancing, I started competing in archery. So I did competitive archery and competed in competitions with people in my age group.
How did you get into that? That is not, I mean, you really have to look for something like that. How did you find it?
You're going to laugh when I tell you. Girl Scouts.
Oh my goodness.
It was Girl Scout camp. They had archery at every Girl Scout camp I went to. Oh, and I learned I really liked it.
Got it. Okay, good, good. Okay, so you told me about what you're doing now. I want to know, as far as, you know, elementary, middle school, and high school, was there anything that you did then that kind of aligns with what you're doing now at Emory? Are you completely different? That's okay too.
Well, it kind of is actually completely different. I never knew I was going to major and get my PhD in pharmacology like as a kid. I knew I wanted to be a scientist, but I didn't know what field of science I wanted to go into. For a long time, I wanted to work in forensics as a forensic toxicologist, which is kind of close to pharmacology.
Yeah.
But I never thought I'd be where I am now. Mm-hmm. It wasn't until college that I kind of decided, like, okay, I think this is the direction I want to go. So I always did like STEM related things, like Adventures Club, and did like science, extracurriculars, summer camps, things like that. But I never knew pharmacology is where I would end up.
But you got some foundation in school and
yeah.
different organizations with the science piece. So
yeah.
That was good that you were able to feed that desire with those extracurricular activities and have hopefully a really good science program in your schools that supported you as well.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah, definitely a good foundation.
Yes. Okay. So now let's get to the part.
Yes.
Who was your favorite teacher? And you can have one, you can have two. Just who was your favorite teacher when you were attending school? And just give us a little why behind it.
Okay. So I'm going to name two.
Okay.
One didn't actually teach me, but of course, my number one favorite teacher is my mom.
Yeah.
And so, so she's number one favorite teacher. She's a special needs teacher. Mm-hmm. And for 35 years. Mm-hmm. So number one favorite teacher is her. But a teacher that taught me that I think is actually, I do credit to where I am now, actually with the pharmacology and in grad school, is my, he was my biochemistry teacher, my junior year of high school, or not high school, junior year of college. His name is Dr. Eric Gatto. But I met him before I actually was in his class when he was giving a research talk to an organization I was a part of. I was a part of the National Organization of Black Chemists and Chemical Engineers. And they used to have professors come and give research talks to us about what they do in their lab, what their research interests are. And he gave his talk, and I was really interested in his research. And I was a sophomore at this time. And so I talked to him afterwards, and I was telling him, I think your research is really cool. I'm kind of interested in toxicology and biochemistry. And he was like, do you want to work in my lab? And I was like, sure. And so he was like automatically like, do you want to work with me? And I was like, sure. So that kind of started our mentor-mentee relationship there, where he was just a really great guiding light in career development, preparing me with lab skills that I wouldn't get in my classes. And then he became my biochemistry teacher, where he taught me more of the academic things that I would need to be successful in like the realm of biochemistry. Mm-hmm. But I actually never thought about getting a PhD until I joined his lab. But really? After, yeah, I didn't, that wasn't in my plans.
Wow. I'm learning this today. Okay.
Oh, really? Yeah. I never, yeah, going into college, even like by my junior year, I was like, I don't know about this PhD, but he actually really encouraged me to do it. And he was saying like, if you want to get to a point in your career where you can be a lead, a director in a lab space or outside in a more clinical space, you need a PhD basically to get to where you want to go in your profession. Because at that point, I had told him after working in his lab, I really enjoyed research. And I was telling him, well, what can I do with this enjoyment I have in research? Like, I don't know what careers are out there for it. And so that's when we started talking about the PhD programs and what field I might be most interested in to based on what I wanted to do, because I know I wanted to work in drug development. So that's where we got in pharmacology and toxicology PhDs. But he was like, you have to do the PhD. Yeah. And I was really hesitant. I fought it for a long time because I was like 5-6 years. That's a long time. Yeah. Could be longer. You never know. There's no time limit with a PhD.
Yeah.
So
it sounds like he pushed you. And that was something that made him a favorite for you, I'm assuming.
Yeah. The push, the guidance, and the educational aspect he taught me of like what is out there career-wise as a scientist with my background.
Yeah, and just and letting you know options.
Yeah.
Some of the things. So what's funny is one of my favorite teachers is my professor in undergrad at Georgia State. I know I still remember her name, Dr. Lauren Schneider. And the reason why I loved her is because she just was kind of, she just went all out for us and had us traveling everywhere, had us going to networking events and just pushing us to apply for scholarships. And just, she just really felt like we were the best. And I'm like, does she teach everybody like this? Or is it just me? You know, but she just really was in your corner. And I love, and that was when I was in school for business. And then my next favorite professor was Dr. Wumble at UGA when I went to UGA for my master's degree. Okay.
Oh, nice.
And this lady told me that I was going to come back and get my PhD. And I was like, that is never going to happen. This was like 17 years ago. Okay. I was like, ma'am, that is not going to happen. Thanks. I am not coming back to school.
Thanks, but no thanks. Yeah.
And then I, 17 years later, got in and I had to call her because she's retired now. And I said, you did it. You spoke this on me.
Now it's happening.
But I'm like you, I love doing research, Bethany. I just love research, especially when it comes to education and just how to improve this industry. This is my passion. This is why everything but the lesson plan has been born, because I just think there's so much information out there that can support teachers in and out of the classroom, right? And just giving them opportunities to grow and be better them. So thank you for just sharing your story about your favorite person.
No problem.
What type of student were you? So I'm gonna put this chart that I give our guest speakers this chart, and I ask them to look through the chart and tell me what type of student they were. And so what did you end up landing on?
So I found that I was a mixture between two.
Okay.
So I felt like I was a mixture between the overactive types and the go-getter kind.
Okay, explain.
So I say mixture between the two because I can be very type A, especially when it comes to my work. I only became like that, I feel like, now. The PhD made me type A. Like, now I want everything run a very specific way. Mm-hmm. And But I also like to multitask. I like to kind of take on a lot of things, and I'm still like trying to figure out how to say no to that type of stuff. So I feel like I am an overactive type because I do have a hard time saying no, but I also want to take on everything.
Yeah.
And then I also felt like I was a go-getter kind though, because I was a type in school where academics didn't come easily. So I'd have to study really hard to get the grades that I did. So I wasn't a type that I could take a test like and it just was all there. I always had to study really hard. So I felt like I was a mixture between those two.
Okay, good. That's good. Good to know for sure. And do you think you were a go-getter when you were in high school?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
That's good. All right. So, and I guess your professor did, the one that you said is your favorite teacher, he created that space so that it supported your go-getter.
100%. Yeah. He's very, there was like me and three other people in the lab, and he was very hands-on in the lab, which isn't always something that you get with professors that have labs. He was in the lab doing experiments with us. So it's very much one-on-one teaching, which I feel like I benefit best from when I'm trying to learn something new.
Yeah.
So he definitely cultivated an environment that was really beneficial for learning and growing in the field we wanted to go into.
And that's important for teachers to know and understand how important that is for students. So if you had to give some advice to a new teacher, what would it be?
I would say don't be afraid to mentor along with teaching. So, yeah, I feel like when teachers have, not all teachers, of course, there are some that are true mentors, but some just have a classroom and they're just there to teach a lesson and then send the kids home. But I say don't be afraid to mentor along with teaching.
And when you say mentor, does this mean staying after school every day with the student? Give me an example of how mentoring, what does that look like?
So mentoring to me is more so just giving support on a more personal level. So it doesn't have to be staying after school every day with the student. It just means making your lessons and teachings and relationships with your student more than just what the lesson plan is. Or making your lesson plan more so that it is on a more personable level, a more interactive level. So the kids aren't just learning, but they're also learning what kind of person you are, and you can learn what kind of person they are to really help them be successful. So I feel like you can't help someone be successful if you don't really know them.
Yeah. And I think it established a little bit of trust with students, which I
that
think
too.
Students need to see that.
Yeah.
Right? And so that piece allows them to see that the teacher is human and, oh, she has or he has these things going on too. And, oh, I know when I used to share stories, a lot of the kids would be like, oh my gosh, Ms. Thompson, really? And
yeah.
Like, they'll be like, you do things like that? Yeah. So I'm human too, you know?
It's like when you see your teacher at the grocery store and you're like, they eat? like they cook?
Pause and be like, oh my God, you're here?
You're here with me. I think it kind of takes away that mystery aspect of like, who is my teacher besides like just the person in this classroom?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that is good. I am so glad you were able to join us today and share your story. Hopefully this will motivate a teacher and let them know how important they are. This episode is really about stories and connecting with people. Just like we said here, it's important for teachers to make those connections, mentoring or whatever. Is there anything else you want to share before we close out?
No, actually I do. I want to say thank you to Dr. Gatto. I know I'm going to send him this podcast so he can hear it.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Big thank you to Dr. Gatto for pushing me to do this PhD because it has been definitely worth it. And also thank you to my mom, my other favorite teacher.
Yes, I love her. She helped us a lot with Inventors Club. She was on my board.
She was. She loves the kids. She loves teaching.
Yes. So, but thank you again. We don't know who is going to listen to this, but one day, hopefully it can make a connection with them, something that you said, right? So thanks for sharing. For my listeners, please subscribe to Everything But the Lesson Plan. I'm going to have Bethany's contact information in the show notes. Share this episode and keep doing one thing for me. Keep thriving. Thank you.